We're back.
Hello.
Back to the podcast, the Big Kahuna podcast. My guitar was very out of tune there.
What do you want to do? We've already started. Now.
We've started. Welcome back, guys.
Episode number 15.
15 episode. Still going. Still going strong.
Just thank about. God.
Thanks to all you lovely listeners. You're the heart and soul of what we do here at the Big Kahuna podcast.
Big time.
Anyways, what have we got today? We have
another Oscars episode.
Yeah, we thought the last one actually did quite well, so we said we'd crack on and do another one.
Kind of picked a random year.
It was a random year, but I was looking through since the start of the Oscars, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s and 2010s. I feel like there's a few years that kind of stick out.
And you felt 2009 stood out for you?
I thought it did, yeah. Actually 2010 was a strong year as well.
Yeah.
But it's weird because like obviously the films were all made in 2008. But then
The Oscars is at a weird time of the year as well.
Like if it was in December, it'd be a lot easier to kinda but you're looking at films that are made in 2008.
When doing research it's hard to gauge what year they actually were made.
But in terms of awards won, pretty stacked year as we have put down in papers and computers and stuff.
What
did you say?
You got it all written down there. Yeah,
yeah, I do.
Big time.
And there's some
I didn't do all the research, but
what, you really want to go there?
It's alright, like
podcast has started, man.
Yeah, you were scribbling down there 5 minutes before it started.
No, I wasn't.
I've been working at this all week.
Scandalous lies, slanderous lies.
I even read a book to get all of these facts.
What? You haven't read a book.
That's commitment right there.
You have not read a book.
All right, kid.
Let me just pull in my chair real quick. So.
So what are the standout films for the Oscars that year?
Oh, this chair is lovely. Anyways, I think we'll go through it. I think what we did last time, the format. For all you guys listening, if you know these films, maybe you can resonate with it. But there was a few that kind of shocked me here. A few actors that were nominated and even directors that hadn't
thought were
attached. Yeah, didn't get nominated, but they were attached to films that I just... You actually have. We'll probably start with the honourable mentions that didn't get...
Nominated, never mind. Okay, first of all, we've got Kung Fu Panda.
Okay, great start.
Well, that was nominated for the animated picture, but didn't win anything, obviously. I just wanted to throw that in there. But 2012... Just a classic.
Yeah.
Everybody, end of the world, doomsday scenario. Everyone loves that.
What's his name? John Cusack.
We got Brothers with Jake Gyllenhaal. And
still haven't seen that, if you believe it. Toby Maguire, man.
Have you seen that? It's serious.
Yeah.
And who else is in it? Natalie Portman, yeah. It's just a solid movie. It's a good crack.
And the girl from Just Go With It. The young girl.
What's that?
You know, Just Go With It with Adam Sandler.
Nah.
You never seen him?
Man, he's about 50 movies. Come on.
Come on, man. It's a good one.
Just tune into the Adam Sandler Experience. That's all you need to know. The Road with Viggo Mortensen.
That is a brilliant
So good.
Film.
I haven't seen it. I saw it probably like 10 years ago now.
That scared me, man.
It's brilliant.
Some of the
I
scenes.
Really need to rewatch it. We might make that movie of the week.
Movie of the week?
Do you want
to? This week?
Yeah.
Yes, agreed.
Go on. We'll make movie of the week.
You just know that you've said it. I think that's the biggest loser from... I can't believe like...
Wasn't nominated once.
Really?
Yeah, nothing.
Wow. Phenomenal film. Viggo Mortensen.
It's quite the classic, but we have a Lovely Bones, The Lovely Bones as well.
Lovely Bones.
With Mark Wahlberg.
Is that not nominated at all? Is that not nominated
no.
at all?
Who else was
that? Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci, yeah. It was about Mark Wahlberg's daughter, Saoirse Ronan. She got kidnapped. And, yeah.
A few I haven't seen there.
They're good movies as well, they're always a good throwback. But
Brothers and the Lovely Bones, I've been looking at them for a while, but they just seem a bit dark, you know?
They are. I'd say watch the Brothers first.
Have you seen Lovely Bones?
Yeah.
That's bad.
It's a bit out there, like.
Pity you didn't watch the most important films of...
Yeah, well, you chose the year, man. What do you want me to do?
You could have vetoed, like, I gave you an option.
I'd already done a week's worth of research, so I couldn't back out. Anyway, so the movies that really stole the show, I'd say, were Wally, Slumdog Millionaire.
So we're going into it.
Yeah, and The Dark Knight Rises.
Well, let me just go through. I'll start off with actor. If there's any here that jump out with you, tell me. So, best actor performed Sean Penn for Milk. Then I think the most notable other nominees are Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler, yeah, and Brad Pitt for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Have you seen any of them?
I've seen The Wrestler, and I haven't actually seen Benjamin Button full way through, but...
That movie is... I've seen that fully.
Really?
Through TikTok.
Through TikTok?
Like, that's like the most clipped movie I'd say ever, because... Really? Yeah, it's about... this man backwards. Who ages in reverse.
Yeah, yeah. With Cate Blanchett.
Yeah. It's just so clippable, I don't know what to do, but...
It's a long-ass film. I've seen, I don't know how I've seen most of it, but I kind of know what happens. But yeah, it didn't win too big anyway.
That wasn't great, like, but...
But Sean Penn in Milk, just for a second.
I haven't seen.
Yeah, phenomenal film. He was a gay rights politician in California, as far as I remember. And basically, it's just about his plight to... fight for gay rights. Pretty tragic story in the end, but he was a very influential figure. It would have been the 80s, 70s, 80s, and just a really powerful film. I think Sean Penn as an actor, he's one of the best around, really. Like, I don't know if you've seen Mystic River.
No. Have you seen it? I never gravitated towards his movies, to be honest.
Really?
I don't know, but it's something about his face.
His face.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't watch them.
Nah, he's got some.
Geez, that cast is stacked, man.
For Milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else in it? Josh Brolin.
De Niro.
Wow.
And what's his name? Let me just turn the laptop around.
I don't think that's the cast, man.
Is it not? You tell me you saw the movie.
That's not the cast.
Oh, they just got together and took a picture.
Yeah.
I probably should have read that.
You just read the caption. Oh my god. Anyway, Sean Penn, a multiple Oscar winner for best actor. I think Dead Man Walking is one of his best films. He did with Susan Sarandon. Is that what it's called? Yeah, Dead Man Walking. Is that what it's called? Let me pull this.
Never grabbed the laptop before. Come on,
you're too slow, man.
Consent, Dad. Come on. Now, what was that movie called? Mystic River?
No, it wasn't Mystic River. Mystic River is the one he did with Tim Robbins. Look up and Kevin Bacon. Look up Sean Penn and Susan Sarandon. We're going to fact check this real quick. By the way, if anyone wants to be a researcher for this, please, please send in your CVs. Let me see this. Yeah, Dead Man Walking. I was right.
Well, anyways,
so that ends our best act.
We're back.
Oh, we're back. There was some technical difficulties there. Anyways, back on to best supporting actor. This is a big category for this year. Because there's a very big name sticking out. Do you want to take this one?
Yeah, okay. So we have Philip Seymour Hoffman,
mm-hmm.
Robert Downey Jr. for Tropic Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Good shout. Michael Shannon for Revolutionary Road.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Brolin for Milk. And then the GOAT, Heath Ledger for The Dark Knight.
Talk about a stacked category.
Jesus. Yeah, for supporting role. Jesus.
Tropic Thunder. This is the one that blew me away.
A lot of controversy, yeah.
Tropic Thunder. A best supporting actor for Tropic Thunder with Robert Downey Jr.
What do you think
of that?
A comedy, like.
That is a flat-out comedy, like.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't expect to see that at the Oscars.
I mean, he does play it brilliantly, like. It is a phenomenal film. But, like, it took me back. Do you think it's warranted?
I don't see why not. He was very good in it, like.
Yeah.
Very funny. But,
Talk about the GOAT.
The GOAT Heath Ledger, yeah, but it's a fact. Cool. Let me just pull it up.
Pull that shit up, man.
Yeah, I seem to have lost the fact for the first time in the history of the pod.
You have so many good facts as well.
Someone must have deleted that there. Maybe I didn't.
Someone deleted it, but no one else is on your computer.
Maybe it didn't paste properly. I don't copy and paste, but... it's gone.
You do copy and paste.
I think I told you before anyway.
Why is it?
So, since the mid-70s...
Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
You give the fact. Go on.
But I thought it was about Slumdog Millionaire.
No, it was about Heath Ledger, man.
Since the 70s.
He was the first actor to be...
Since the 70s, Heath Ledger was the first actor to be posthumously awarded the...
That's the word.
The... an Oscar. An Oscar in general.
Yeah. So basically, like, someone received... He was the first person like who died to have the award... received on their behalf since like the mid 70s.
Yeah, which is very sad.
Yeah.
He died filming Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium with I think it was Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, and didn't a whole load of actors come in and like finish the role for him?
Yeah, there was a real mix up with it, like.
Yeah, they like each scene like they switched about for like another actor, I think, wasn't it? And whatever those actors were going to be paid, I think they gave it to his daughter.
Mm.
Something like that.
I watched a documentary on Heath Ledger. Just an incredible, incredible character, human being. But he was one of the most talented actors I've ever seen. Like...
Yeah, he can do it.
Genuinely, for such a young man as well.
He really had some resume as well.
Oh yeah, already. Like, Brokeback Mountain, Dark Knight...
Was that rom-com he was in?
10 Things I Hate About You. Even like a Knight's Tale. You can see he can act in that. Like,
yeah, 100%. And like,
but in the documentary, it just kind of showed that he was always on the go, constantly, constantly. He never slept. He was only just very active, very active mind. So he was always working. He was always... Didn't seem to have a very tight group of friends or anything, though. So it was kind of... It was a sad enough documentary. But yeah, it came to a tragic end, unfortunately.
But I think he, to be honest, he would have won it anyway. Like, you know, he was always going to win support and all.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
Like, I don't think they just did that in his memory. I honestly do think
I honestly think it's one of the best performances ever.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about Dark Knight another time, because there's a Christopher Nolan episode coming up.
Yeah, we'll try our best not to compare it to Robert Downey Jr. and Tropic Thunder. Like.
Tit for tat at the end there. It's a bit of a raw comparison. Like, I mean... In fairness, Robert Downey Jr., he's going to get his due this year. He's going to get his Oscar.
Yeah, we'll get onto that later in this episode. Yeah.
Anyways, we'll move on to Best Actress. Kate Winslet for The Reader. I think I've watched this film. Quite good. A little bit steamy, actually, I think, in places. Have you ever seen it?
No, I haven't seen any of these movies up here. but it's a very stacked list. It's actually... He's probably the most stacked one of the whole year, to be honest.
I know what you're looking at.
We're looking at Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Melissa Leo.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
Anne Hathaway. And Kate Winslet.
Wow.
Solid.
So, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt in the same year. Power couple.
Fiery.
Neither won the award. But yeah, geez.
So is that why they did Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
That'd have been before or after.
I have no idea.
Around that time, anyway. But yeah, stacked. But as you say, I haven't seen any of the rest of those films.
Why?
So, what?
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why haven't you seen them?
I haven't seen lots of other films in this list.
Interesting. Okay.
How many of those have you seen?
Actress in a supporting role.
You are wrong.
We have...
Fails to elaborate.
Penelope Cruz...
Penelope, shut up, man. Where are you going with this? Like, you don't even know where you're going.
I haven't seen any of those movies either. Oh, Lord.
Let me take you. Let me take you to it. Penelope Cruz in Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Take me through it, man. Come on.
Vicky Cristina Barcelona is done by Woody Allen. It's Javier Bardem and Scarlett Johansson as well.
Mm.
Very good romantic film. Strong performances across the board. Obviously set in Barcelona. These two Americans travel there, doing their whole European trip, you know. Javier Bardem sweeps them off their feet, brings them out. He brings them out to his little freaking villa, gets them going, you know. They're having a good time, drinking wine.
Tapas, all that crack.
Yeah, tapas, that crack. He turns out to be a painter. And the next thing... Yeah. What do you mean?
Oh, no.
What do you mean, oh, no?
Keep going.
You can explain that later. Anyways, next thing is... ex Penelope Cruz comes out of nowhere. She's this fiery ass, angry ass woman, and they're obviously still like kind of on and off, but she's a bit of a force of nature in the film. Very good, actually. Quite enjoyed it. So yeah, well deserved. Then Marissa Tomei for The Wrestler.
Yeah. Serious film.
The Wrestler is a brilliant film.
I actually have a few facts on this film.
Hmm.
Oh.
Go on.
Okay, so it's a bit of a long one now. I'll try and get through this fact. It's quite the boomer.
Go on.
Mickey Rourke, the main character in The Wrestler, obviously, yes, was always the first choice to play the beaten down wrestler Randy the Ram. However, because Rourke was also considered a beaten down actor by Hollywood, the film wasn't given any financing. What? So Nicolas Cage was cast instead. Cage knew right from the start why he was not cast. So once the film, he knew that they didn't actually want him. They just wanted a big name to get a bit of financing.
Right.
And Nicolas Cage knew that. So once the filming financing came through, he stood down from the role to allow Rourke to take his place.
It's very sound.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Jesus.
Nicolas Cage, he's that guy, man.
That was very nice one.
Yeah. And there's another fact here. So in wrestling, there's a term called blading.
Blading.
Blading, yeah. Where wrestlers cut their forehead in the middle of a match.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
instead of bringing on sick blood and shit, yeah, you know, like that. But Rourke's a big-time method actor. So instead of using, like, CGI or makeup or anything like that, he brought a blade on and he cut himself in the forehead.
Jesus.
For it. It's pretty cool.
Some fire facts, man.
Thank you.
Kudos. yeah, that's that. We didn't really talk about Marissa Tomei there at all. Marissa Tomei is from she's the new Spider-Man's. She's a very good actress.
Which one, man?
The freaking
Madame Web.
No, man. She's in
No Way Home.
In the what's her man's name? Tom Holland once. She's the aunt.
She's I can't even remember.
The auntie. Yeah, she's a very good actress actually. Yeah. Fair play to her. Anyways,
yeah,
moving on.
I think we should do animated films next.
Go on.
You know what I'm saying?
Go on.
Right, let me scroll down and find them.
By the way, I'm just looking out over a beautiful setting. Well, the sun is set, but there's still blue in the sky.
It's very nice. In the sky?
No, blue in the sky.
Oh, okay.
Birds. Oh, go on. Say it. Go on.
Say what? Do you want me to sing the song?
Yeah, go on. Sing it, yeah.
I don't know the lyrics. I don't know the lyrics.
Who is it? Protein Board?
Protein Board.
What?
Yeah, well. Actually, we should get him on the pod anytime he wants.
Come on. Just don't do it. Just don't do it.
Do what?
Can we have the fact now, please?
Please continue with your monologue looking out the window there, please.
Sky is blue, different shades of blue. It's not raining.
Different shades of blue. It's dark, man.
That just shows the way we see the world, honestly.
Elaborate.
I look out and I see beautiful different shades of blue and a calm evening, and I look at the bright side.
Blue your favourite colour or something?
Shut up. You know what? Shut up. Where's your fact?
A fact for what?
You said you had a fact. You said you had a fact. I was up about freaking animated films, man.
You're stuttering over here, man. Best picture. I can't find animated films.
What?
It's not honest.
So you just said you want to talk about animated films.
Yeah. The Oscars is prohibiting me from doing that on their actual website. So
the Oscar,
I'll have to look it up.
The Oscar for being.
But in the meantime, whilst I'm doing all the research for the podcast episode, we'll talk about the best picture.
No, let's talk about best director first.
Anyways,
another stacked one. So a few nominees. David Fincher. I didn't know this, actually. David Fincher directed The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. The director of Seven, the director of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. So, a bit of a step aside from those type of films, those thriller. He's the king of thrillers. And then Ron Howard for Frost Nixon. That was actually quite a good political film. Ron Howard has got some unbelievable films as well. I watched 13 Lives recently about the soccer team, the young lads getting stuck in the caves in Thailand. Phenomenal film. Might do it as a movie of the week soon. But yeah, the big winner of this year, and I suppose overall, Slumdog Millionaire was the big winner, Danny Boyle. So I think well deserved as well. Would you concur, Brian?
Yes.
Yes. Doesn't elaborate.
Yeah, I'm just doing a bit of research here. One second.
Danny Boyd also of Trainspotting. So, yeah, well deserved, I would say. So we're moving on to Best Picture already? Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you doing, man?
I can't find this. It's really annoying me now.
What do you want to find? You're worrying me.
I saw it there. I can't find Best Animated Film.
Well, it was
Wall-E, but I can't find the nominees.
Then the other nominees for that year.
Mm.
So you're telling me Kung Fu Panda wasn't nominated at all?
No, I think that was the year after.
So it wasn't nominated the year after either?
No, see, I saw... Oh, here it is. No, it's not. So all I know is I saw it earlier. It was Kung Fu Panda and Wall-E that were definitely nominated for Best Animated Picture.
Definitely nominated. Yeah. So why did you Wall-E put that in honorable mention, so?
Because I wanted to speak about it a bit more.
Yeah, but I thought it was honorable mentions for things that didn't get nominated.
Just don't worry about it, man.
You're
right?
All over the place.
I'm all over it.
You're all right. Over the place. You're not all over it.
Are you sure about that? Because I have a few Wall-E facts here that'll blow your mind.
Go on, blow my mind. Okay. All
right. Mr. Big Guy, what does Wally stand for?
I don't know. You asked me this before.
Is that it? You can't tell me.
No, I still don't know. 10 minutes I'll tell since you asked me.
Waste allocation load lifter.
No way!
And I'm not finished. Earth class.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And
I guess what? I was just thinking that was it. Yeah, well.
You were close. Think about what does Eve stand for?
Oh, I should did know Eve. No.
I'll tell you anyway. Extraterrestrial vegetation evaluator.
No, I wouldn't have got that in a month of Sundays, man.
Anyway.
Good
The first Pixar film to be nominated for 6 Academy Awards.
Wow.
This ties with the only other animated film to garner this many nominations.
I remember watching
Beauty and the Beast, 1991.
Really?
Yeah.
I was watching it in the cinema when it came out first. It's so melancholic. Sort of very somber, like, you know?
Yeah.
When he's just chilling around the... He's chilling around the planet by himself. But it's just that Pixar, that ability to animate something and personify
the only thing you feel any emotion towards in the movie are the two robots and not the humans.
That's why there's an extra kind of added texture to films like that. And that's what's so genius about animating.
Yeah, you're like,
films.
Oh, humanity deserved it in the end.
Yeah, and they're all floating around. Such slobs. Like,
slobs, yeah.
Fat mother. But I thought it was brilliant when it came out first. I haven't watched it really since, though. I'm not sure if it's one of those ones that, when I think animated films, I think Wall-E, but maybe I should.
Elfa Knight, who provides the voice of Eve, is not an actress, but she just works at Pixar.
Really?
Under that little sprinkle of a fact in there.
It's a spicy one.
Yeah, and around 33 minutes, if you want to look it up, the last piece of debris that was cleared away from Wall-E as he leaves Earth's atmosphere is the Russian satellite Sputnik 1. Which in 1957 was the first man-made object to be placed in Earth's orbit.
That's cool.
Boom. Mic drop.
You came with it.
Mic drop.
Fair play.
Yeah.
We get on to Best Picture?
Yeah, finally.
One that you've definitely seen.
Right, let me see. I've got them right here.
Well, they have enough facts in it anyway. Best Picture, drum roll, which we already said. Slumdog Millionaire, directed by Danny Boyle.
Well, I haven't seen it.
Oh my god!
You picked the movie. You picked the year, so you really got
to. Yeah, but I told you.
You really got to bring it home.
Right, Slumdog Millionaire.
You told me what?
This film is
half an hour before I picked you up.
What?
That,
I told you.
I told you this.
I told you yesterday.
No, you didn't.
So it's now Thursday. I told this guy yesterday that we would be doing this year.
But I was.
But you came with the facts. I am not giving out. I'm just you brought the facts for.
Yeah, and I even brought your facts for you. For Slumdog Millionaire. If you want
no, I didn't. I caught that one by myself. I don't want to read them. I don't want to read.
I already told you what they were. You got them written down. You've already transcribed them.
Okay. Do-do-do-do-do. Slumdog Millionaire. Yeah. Directed by Danny Boyle. Oh, stop putting this in my face.
Right, I'll read it for you.
No. Let me snap. Let me just
get out of the kitchen. You can't handle it right now. Actually, do a little synopsis of the movie there.
So, Slumdog Millionaire, set in India.
Really?
Dev Patel is the main lead. But anyways, it goes through his story.
Mm.
Stop, man. So anyways, it starts with him as a child. And stop looking at me like that.
What?
So the whole film basically is about this dude. He makes it on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, all right? And
really?
He ends up absolutely, he ends up winning it, right? But as he's in the show, it flashes back and shows his story as he comes through the slums, hence Slumdog.
Mm-hmm.
This incredible story of how he kind of survives and makes his way up through, you know, the tough streets.
So what's the story like when he, I don't want to ruin the movie, like when he wins the million?
He wins the million. That's the end of the film. Like, it's kind of inconsequential. Right,
sure, okay, whatever.
But it's just like he won it and...
He wasn't allowed to keep the money, was it?
No, it wasn't that. It was that... So basically when it's flashing back and showing all these little snippets of his story up to that point, because the Slumdog, the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is the present moment. It shows how he gets the answers right. So it's like shows why he remembers those things, because it happened at very poignant moments in his life. So that's why he remembers like a certain question. But then there's certain ones that he doesn't know at all. So he has to call a friend or he has to do 50-50, and they're like the easy ones.
So is it a serious film?
It's a very serious film, yeah.
Yeah, I really do got to watch it. Like,
it's a brilliant film. Brilliant, brilliant film.
So anyway.
Colourful, but dark as well.
Little fact for you there.
Go on.
When viewers objected to the term Slumdog as racist sounding, director Danny Boyle explained that it wasn't the word. It was a combination of Jamal's twin standing as slum dweller and underdog.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I have a little fact for you there, actually, that I came up with myself. That was there was no help.
All right, okay. Please elaborate.
So in the scene where he jumps into the feces, the poo, it was a mix of chocolate and peanut butter that was actually made up the poo, like
the fecal matter.
I came up with that fact, man. So go on.
Yeah, so he jumps into a river of poo
that
was made out of chocolate and peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
That was my fact. I just
that wasn't your fact. Go on.
I'm all out of facts for that movie, unfortunately.
So yeah, highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. And a worthy winner, I think. No, the only thing I would say...
I have another factor for you.
There's so many facts going on.
Slumdog Millionaire. Millionaire in 2008 was the first Best Picture winner to receive more than 4 Oscars since The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Oh, that was a good one, yeah. That's a very cool fact, actually.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, what did you say? Most votes?
No, it received more than 4. It was like the most Oscars won.
Really?
Yeah, for a Best Picture since the Return of the King.
That's impressive. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go and watch it. Excellent film. The only thing I'll say about that year, Christopher Nolan wasn't even nominated for.
Barely even. Yeah, he was barely mentioned, really. Apart from.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're gonna mention Dark Knight, because we will do. You know, it's probably the center point of the Christopher Nolan episode, but. Which will be coming soon. It's in the pipeline.
But maybe it was just those just happened to be that there was some movies that were just a bit more Oscar worthy that year.
You think there's such thing, Oscar worthy?
I think there's definitely a formula for it.
Like. Mm-hmm. I think it was good that Milk won big, because it's a really powerful story, and I can understand if the Oscars want to highlight those stories. I mean, you're not gonna and Slumdog.
But that's what they're gonna do. That's what they've been doing. So
and Slumdog Millionaire. So. Look, it can't really argue with it too much, but you know, Dark Knight for me is one of the best films ever. But I suppose that's just
bit of bias.
I'm gonna say that. So, but anyways, that's just.
I think that I'm trying to say. I think that it concludes our 2009 Oscars.
Next topic of conversation: this year's Oscars.
2024's Oscars
coming up very soon.
When it's Sunday, is it?
Sunday, yeah.
I'll just list out the nominees for actor in a leading role.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm going to butcher this guy's name. All right, so we've got Bradley Cooper in Maestro.
Wasn't too bad, you did well.
Colm Domingo in Rustin.
Coleman Domingo.
Colm. Paul. It's Italian.
Let me see.
No.
Paul Giamatti.
The Holdovers. Guy called Cillian Murphy, who's in Oppenheimer.
Really? Where's he from?
You haven't seen him, man. You're not cool.
Where is he from?
Cork, isn't it?
I don't know, you tell me.
He's from Cork, alright?
You're weird, man.
And Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction.
Hmm.
Solid, but I think there's a clear winner there.
Apparently Paul Giamatti is... A lot of people are saying he should win.
Yeah, but then they just are going to give it to Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, and I rightfully so. Absolutely brilliant. Best Irish performance of all time. One of the best biopic performances.
Are you sure about that? Cockamamish, Brendan Gleeson?
Really pulled that out of the bag.
Well, I think that was probably nominated for short film in the Oscars whenever that came out.
Great shout. But yeah, he's going to win, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, I saw a video there that Brendan Gleeson, he's in two secondary school like literature, like, you know, he's so basically for Cockamamish he was in the Irish subject, and in English he's now in it for Banshees of Inisherin.
Jesus.
So he's really carrying the leading cert these days.
The elusive double.
Yeah.
No better man, honestly.
I don't know, would you be proud about that though?
I don't know. I don't think he cares. He's such a cool...
But to be fair, he added two very interesting topics to those subjects, like, it could be worse.
I don't think he cares. Honestly, he's such a cool dude, like.
Yeah, he's pretty good at
it. Everything, he's unfazed.
Yeah. Actor in a supporting role.
Go on.
We have Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction. Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon. Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer. Ryan Gosling, Barbie. Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things. That is a tough one. That is tough. I think Poor Things is supposed to be very good.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen Killers of the Flower Moon. So I don't know what to think. I don't know if I'm going to watch it, to be honest.
Yeah, you said that when it came out first. Yeah.
It didn't blow me away, and 3.5 hours.
I don't mind 3.5 hours. I'll sit through a film, but I don't know what it is about it that kind of just doesn't draw me. It's not the story. I think the story sounds quite interesting. I think it's just Leonardo DiCaprio in another one of these roles. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just like, getting used to him. Like, it's like almost like you just have to admire whatever he's in, like when it's a big scale production.
Yeah. He's that guy. He is that dude.
Yeah, I know. But like,
I don't know. I will give it a watch though. I will.
I don't know if I will.
And Lily Gladstone is, I think she's nominated for, I think she's going to win. She's supposed to be phenomenal in it.
But I mean, Ryan Gosling's sitting there. He's kind of a dark horse.
I think if he wins that now, after what, no female.
But you see when they won, Won the fucking...
He is funny, Ryan Gosling. Song, yeah. He actually is quite funny.
I like him.
I like him off screen. In fairness,
he does get his fair share of hate, like, but...
I wasn't sure of him a while ago, but I've watched a lot of his films and, you know, he's solid.
I think based off Oscar bias and all the sort of crack, Robert Downey Jr.
is going to... I don't think it's bias at all. He is far and away, like, I think, you know, he was absolutely brilliant in Oppenheimer.
Yeah, come on. It was the best movie of the year.
Yeah, it just was.
Apart from Saltburn.
And Christopher Nolan needs to get his day in the sun as well. Go on. Any other notable categories or... We just give you another 10 minutes to look through them.
Directing. I'll let you read this one out. Go on.
Well, there's a few hard names, is there?
All right, shall we do it?
I know the one you're going to struggle with.
Wait, which one?
Yorgos.
Oh, God. Okay. Nominees: Anatomy of a Fall.
That's supposed to be unreal.
Oh, we need French. To watch. I didn't do films, French. Justine Trait.
Oh my god!
Did you do French?
Yeah.
How do you say?
Just let me read them.
No. Justine Trait.
Justine Trait.
Yeah. As I said.
I don't know.
Killers of the Flower Moon. Martin Scorsese. Oppenheimer. Christopher Nolan. Okay, here we go. Poor Things. Yorgos. Lanthimos.
Let me see. Yeah, Yorgos Lanthimos.
As I said
good.
It again.
That was good, actually. Yeah. Is there another one?
The Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer. I don't know why I thought that was funny.
A few films you haven't seen there.
Chrissy Nolan.
Chrissy.
Well, we haven't seen these movies, like, you know. But...
I've heard that... Is American Fiction not
No.
Oh, this really?
This is cinematography. This is directing.
This directing, okay.
It's probably in cinematography.
I think it's in Best Picture, but I think some big names there, in fairness. I like Yorgos Lanthimos. He did The Lobster. He did Barry Keoghan in Killing of a Sacred Deer with Colin. He likes Colin Farrell, actually. So he likes his Irish actors. But very kind of edgy, very weird films that he kind of makes, but they're good.
I have a funny thing. I was telling you this before on Rag Week about a Christopher Nolan.
What?
He was caught by ever seen Cycling Mikey on TikTok.
Oh, no way. Was he caught?
Yeah. So for anyone doesn't know, Cycling Mikey is this guy and he goes around with a GoPro on and he cycles. He's in England or whatever, in London or whatever, and he just weaves in between traffic and he tries to catch people who are like stationary in traffic who are on their phone. And he'll come up and knock on the window. He's like, I got you. How would you like them apples? Yeah. I'm just reporting you to the police. And he's like, well, he's just really reptilian and ratty.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people don't really like him particularly.
Well.
But it was Guy Ritchie. Sorry, it wasn't Christopher Nolan, actually. It was Guy Ritchie.
But anyway, he just pulls
up to the window and he rolls it down. And Guy Ritchie just like, how's it going? He's like, I got you.
Well, listen to our Guy Ritchie episode.
6 points. And he got a few months off the road.
Six points?
Yeah, they really threw the book at him.
Jesus. Anyways, does that conclude our... Talk about actresses for a second. I know Emily Blunt is in there. Emma Stone is probably
Emma Stone
favorite,
for Poor
isn't
Things.
She?
And I'd say she's in lead acting.
She is brilliant. I hope she wins it. But
actress
Emily
in
Blunt,
a leading role, yeah.
Emily Blunt, if she gets it, I don't think... Maybe there's screen time? I don't know.
She'd get it if she was nominated for the leading role.
What?
Mm-hmm.
No way. No.
Yeah, she's supporting role.
Supporting role, sorry, yeah. So Emma Stone. Who else is in supporting or lead actress? Lily Gladstone. Yeah, Lily Gladstone. She might win it as well.
Sandra Huller, Carey Mulligan.
Jesus, pretty stacked. I genuinely think it's going to be a good Oscars.
What's her face? Margot Robbie.
Yeah, that was a massive stinger.
To be.
Yeah, like, that really stung them. The fact that a man was the only one who got nominated from...
Well, maybe it's just because it wasn't that stacked for actors in...
Don't think Ryan Gosling should have been nominated. I mean, I just think, Jesus. But anyways...
Wait, have you seen Barbie?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It is very good. It's very enjoyable. Like, it's quite funny as well. I just don't see it as a very serious piece of work. In some sense, it is, like, because it's very...
But were
critical.
They trying to be? Do you think they were trying
no,
to
No, they are. They're being
the
very
Oscars?
Critical of the patriarchy, but in a very funny and kind of smart way.
So it's like Tropic Thunder, in a way.
What, attacking the patriarchy?
No, but it's like just being like... a movie that you wouldn't think would make it to the Oscars.
Mm. Well, yeah, well, I think Barbie was always going to be nominated for a few things, but I know, it was a good film. It wasn't amazing, but it was good. But yeah, anyways, the Oscars, I hope, as long as our boy wins.
Or Will Smith doesn't go up on the stage.
Yeah, he's probably banned anyways, but I hope it's going to be a good one. I hope the right people win. And
are you actually going to watch it, though?
No, I won't watch. I'll watch clips.
Yeah, that's what everyone does these days.
Yeah. It's a bit poo.
The Oscars is dying.
It's not really, though. The Oscars as a ceremony is dying, but people are still want to know who wins, you know, that kind of way. But anyway.
But that's what the Oscars is, though. It is the ceremony. It is people going up on stage and all that sort of
thing. Yeah, I know. I mean, they must be done in at this day. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, they've been paraded about for months now.
Yeah, but they just want a real, like, up-and-coming story or, like, an underdog story for, like, someone to win it so they can really push that all over social media.
Yeah, sure, they can just choose an underdog, like, but yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting. I'm sure there'll be a few. I think there will be one or two surprises, as long as
they have to. They gotta get the views up, man.
Yeah,
that's the way it's going.
As long as the Corkman wins, I'm happy enough. Anyways, that kind of brings to the end
of another section
of our section. Now we have this is a triple section episode,
first time.
Mm. Very cool. Movie of the week, go on.
Man, your socks are minging.
My socks? It's not.
They're minging, man.
It's not my socks.
Well, what is that? Nuclear waste.
That's brilliant. Can we focus, please?
Sorry, I got sidetracked there.
Go on, you introduce your movie of the week.
Movie of the week, Dune Part 2.
Unbelievable.
Fresh off the press.
Unbelievable. It blew me away.
It was a spectacle.
It was unbelievable. I've said that 3-4 times now.
I don't even think I blinked for like 3 hours. Yeah. And it didn't feel that long at all.
What was your favourite aspect? A lot of people say Austin Butler. Obviously Chalamet was phenomenal.
Oh, I just liked them that they really went into depth with the Harkonnens.
Yeah, that was cool. That was really cool, man.
Like Austin Butler's, if you haven't seen it, it's Austin Butler's like family.
The Fade
like, their house within the universe, like.
Yeah.
But they really showed their home planet and like
in black and white.
In black and white, which was really cool actually. Mm. But it just shows that why it's the most hated planet and the most dangerous one to live on in that universe.
It's very cool, man.
But my favorite scene in the whole movie would be the Colosseum fight.
Yeah.
You'll see it in the trailer if you haven't seen it. I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but it's...
No, it's very good.
It's like the first 10 or 15 minutes, like, Austin Butler's introduced.
Mm-hmm.
It's serious. Because I think the movie was kind of fading a bit. A tad, because
slow burn at the start.
It's slow, yeah, because you're anticipating Austin Butler to come in
because
he's plastered all over from the TikTok. You just don't know where he's going to come in, how he's going to fit in the story, and then boom. You missed the first bit, though. You'd gone to the toilet.
Yeah. Sad about that. But I'll watch it again, I'm sure.
It was actually kind of funny as well, in a way.
Really?
Your man, what's his name? As it was written. What was his name?
Who?
The actor.
Oh, Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem. It was just because it was such a...
Brought a bit of lightness to it.
It was such a switch up in his character.
From
the first movie. He was so cold and direct. And then the second movie, he was like...
He was a
fanboy
from
Timothy Chalamet.
I liked that, though. But the thing I liked about it, I haven't seen in a long time, is that he's really like a hero. Like he's the messiah.
He's
like
a martyr.
But who? Timothy Chalamet, but he's a messiah, like.
He's the one.
He's bringing them
as
all
if it was
together.
Written.
Like, he's like a god. Like, how many films can you say? I'm just thinking, like, maybe Aragorn, Lord of the Rings, where it's just that kind of.
Yeah. But you know what? What I like about the.
Power.
It's a change of pace for, like, Marvel, like, these days, where you can just tell everything was just. It was just made in a room with a green screen.
Yeah.
It's just fabricated, like. But with Dune,
shitty
it
ass.
Was such.
Shitty ass comedy and stuff like
that. Yeah, but Dune was just such a large scale set. Like, they shot a lot of it on site.
Yeah.
I think it was in somewhere in Asia.
It was south of Abu Dhabi, I think. It was like 2 hours.
It was Eastern Asia or whatever.
Was it Eastern Asia or was it Abu Dhabi? Like, because I literally watched a Josh Brolin interview and he said it was in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah,
so which one are you
back
saying?
Back to
man?
The point.
Go on.
All right, kid.
The point is.
Like, they didn't have to use all the CGI, but it's like, you can see the scale of it.
Mm.
And it really blows you away when you're watching it in the cinema on the big screen.
Yeah, and Villeneuve as well, the director, he brings large scale and then the shots, the shots of the face, very close up. It brings that contrast to the film. I really like that as well. It's very like, wow, and then
boom,
kind of small intimate moments.
But the sound is like the sound design and where they used it was pretty cool. Like,
and like the worms as well. Were
yeah, like they wrote this. like the tunes used in it were like really deserty, and like it was almost like you were there.
Yeah,
and like the echoes and all the tunes were pretty cool.
Yeah, and I don't think you've seen a large scale, really like an incredible story like that in a long time.
Yeah.
But done so well, like done so thoughtfully.
But I saw this thing there yesterday. So if you add up the budget for Dune 1 and 2, it's just like 2 or 3 million over Captain Marvel, like their budget.
Seriously?
So it comes up to like 250 million to make the two Dune movies.
Jesus.
Which are almost like the movies of this decade.
Yeah.
And then it's just an average, very average Marvel movie. Like, it just goes to show that like, you don't have to spend all this massive money
just
for a green screen.
Mm.
When a bit of like authenticity like on the set, which is what they used in Dune 2, goes a long way.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's not like you can say that Marvel 2's cast was stacked.
Yeah.
It was Samuel Jackson and what was her name?
Brie Larson.
Compared to Dune 2's cast, which was absolutely rammed.
Yeah, it's incredible. Christopher Walken, haven't you spoken about him? And Florence Pugh.
I think he's too big of a name to be the Emperor. They should have got someone a little bit less known, I think.
No.
Kind of took it away from me, the Emperor.
Really?
Because they'd really built him up in the first movie.
Why, you thought he was a bit of a letdown?
Yeah. I don't know if Christopher Walken's... He's an absolute legend, but is he the Emperor?
Yeah. I suppose they're kind of shown to be a little bit frail as well, you know?
Yeah. Maybe he wasn't... To be fair, he might have been in the originals.
Yeah. That was a brilliant. It was really, really good now. It was everything I expected and more.
And they... Oh, yeah. I don't want to spoil anything else.
Yeah. But we'll do a little review on
and
it.
And the scenes with the worms, yeah. Everything was... Next level.
Are we going to rate?
Yeah, go on. I'm going to go first. I'm going to say 9.0. My first 9. Was it?
I think it might be.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 9.1. Kobe 9.2.
Goes to show. It's still in cinemas, guys.
It's been in cinemas. Seriously. For a while. It will be in cinemas. Go watch it. Unbelievable.
We saw it in Salt Hill and it's just...
Go Salt
Hill's the job. Yeah, it really is. Because you get those recliner seats.
Yeah. Anyways, I need to go wee.
Cheers. We're in the middle of a point there.
Anyways, thanks for listening, guys.
Movie of the week for next week is The Road.
The Road, yeah. Agreed. So, thank you very much for listening. I've been Connell.
Myself, Byron.
Big Kahuna Podcast. Over and out.
Capiche.